Chapter 1, I didn't have to read very far before I had to stop in the book of Nehemiah. I preached from this several times of Nehemiah. But you see, the Holy Spirit of God always gives you something new. If I preach from the same message every day for weeks and weeks, it would be different every time. This time is the most different time that I have ever looked at these verses of scriptures and what it means, seeing these verses of scriptures. Because we know this day that we can see God's potential in the problems of man. The Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our foundations of this country is being destroyed every day. Every day. We don't realize it as much as we should. I have to tell you, if the Lord don't break my heart when I'm preparing a message, or the Lord preparing a message, I hadn't done very well. But the sadness, as I look at these verses of scriptures and I look upon our country, they shouldn't be a dry eye in this church. We are in a terrible, terrible condition because of sin in the lives of this nation. Because of sin. But I want to tell you on the up note of this side, turning these problems that you and I look out upon our nation and our lives and our family and our churches, turn these problems into possibilities, because that could happen in our country. I tell you, God wants to bless and raise this country up where His name will be glorified again in this country. God wants to do that. Can He? If we'll just let Him. Because you see, problems really are just opportunities in disguise. Now, we have all type of problems in your family, in your life, in our church, in our nation. But these problems can be turned into possibilities for the Lord. Y'all have watched television on the outcome of Chick-fil-A. All the man did is say, you know, I just don't believe in homosexual marriages. And the homosexuals and the liberals and the Democrats of those few cities say, don't you bring your Chick-fil-A business here. We don't want it. We'd rather have homosexuals anytime than your Chick-fil-A business. And you see what happened there? Enough of God's people stood up. Amen. Around our nation. They meant this for a problem. The homosexuals and the liberal Democrats meant it for a problem of this country. But I tell you, we can turn these problems into possibilities. And they've turned it around to where that Chick-fil-A business are doing more business than they have ever done in those few days. Amen. And I tell you what, that's just an example of what we could do throughout this nation if we'll understand and see the problems we have and we can turn these into possibilities for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened to Chick-fil-A. And I say again, if you go to Red Cross or anywhere else, buy you a chicken, some type of chicken. If you don't like it, bring it to my dogs. They'll eat chicken. Because that turns these problems into possibilities. And if we Christians, and I tell you, most of it is Christians and conservative people that believe what they've done and what they are doing, demonstrating that they do not believe that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. They believe God said it's a sin, and all they're doing is standing up against it. But it will never, ever end until Jesus comes back. They're going to come back again, the homosexuals and the liberals, because they want to force that on the family. And that's tearing the family down more than anything else in the world will ever tear it down, is trying to get you to accept this alternate lifestyle, and that is homosexuality. God did not make that. The devil did. And it is sin. Oh, that's just only one problem that I'm talking about. But I have to tell you, I shed several tears over this message. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to be accepted. But that's not my problem, that's yours. And I doubt I have time to get halfway through. But I want to tell you, our nation and our families and our churches, homes, we're in a mess. And if we don't get right with God, God is going to show us what he done to Sodom and Gomorrah. I want this country. I love this country. God's blessed this country. Many of you, my age and older, we have had our cup of joy in this country. If God never blesses us old people anymore, we've had a great cup of joy by living in this country. Amen? But my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will not experience this cup of joy that I have experienced. It will cease to be. And it's falling so fast that we can't visualize it. But it's coming. And so many people is away from the Word of God, and they just don't know what's wrong. Together we build is a theme through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah probably was wrote 2,500 years ago at least. Why are we reading and studying old scriptures that's that old? What does it mean for us? There's three things for Bible interpretation that you really need to understand when you're reading and studying your Bible. One thing, you ask yourself, what did it mean back then? What does it mean now? And what does it mean to me personally? I could give you several more of Bible interpretations that you need to understand, and you won't be a liberal if you listen to them. But I'll quit with those three this hour. What does it mean back then? Well, I want to read verses 1 through 4. If I can get through this, and we'll see what it meant back then, what it means today, and what it means to you personally. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Kishu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in Providence are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem are also broken down, and the gates thereof is burnt with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept. A grown man crying, hear me? And I mourned not just for a little while, a few tears, but he says, I mourned for certain days. And I fasted where I get in touch with God. And I prayed to the one that's in heaven it could do something about it. Let us pray this hour. Father Jesus, a few words, and I pray if I ever prayed before. Lord, that you might guide my mind and my words, the what we need to hear today, lay it on the hearts of the people. Lord, you know I don't know what to say in this situation. Lord, I pray, Lord, it's your words and your wisdom and your grace might leave from these lips. Some we may not like to hear, but Father, may it all be the truth, because we need help. We need help from you, Father. So we thank you, Lord, this day for what you promised that you would do if we would turn and repent. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Back what it meant then, we know that Nehemiah had been in captivity now for about 70 years. The nation of Israel had been prophesied in Jeremiah's day, whenever they turn from God, they get into the promised land and they will not put God first, and they do what this country have done, this United States, and when they have forgot about God, when they take God out of their school, they take God out of their government, they take God out of their church, and they take God out of their family, to no longer is God number one in their family, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to scatter those people, the nation of Israel, throughout the world. They're going to stay into captivity for 70 years, and then they'll return back when they learn their lesson. Now, God has not promised the United States that we'll ever turn back, but he promised the nation of Israel. But they also promised that if we'd repent, that he would send blessings from heaven. Now, we can repent. He sent that promise to us. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He had made a promise to the United States. He made a promise to any of God's people, wherever they at, if we would repent. But he made a promise to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was carried away into captivity because they forgot about God. They forgot about God, and you know, a day of Daniel and the three Hebrew children when they went into Babylon, and they stayed there for 70 years. And then the 70 years, it was time for them to return. Well, we know that old Nehemiah, he was probably about my age, about 70 years. This is probably the reason that got a hold of me so much, because I, about 70 years, and Nehemiah heard from his fellow men what had happened in that nation. Now, he'd been gone now since he was a child, and even maybe before he was even born, from that nation of Israel, from that Jerusalem, that where God met with his people. Now, the nation of Israel knew they had that this God was called Jehovah God, and the temple was the onlyest place in the world that God met with human beings, was in the temple. The onlyest place for sacrifices in Jesus Christ, or the Holy God met with people, was in the temple. There was a time whenever the feast days, when Jeremiah thought about the place of God in the temple, and he said, you know how God had blessed that nation. But you see, as I look back and see how God had blessed this nation, Nehemiah remembered how there was three times a year that all male men were supposed to go to Jerusalem for three main feasts. That main feast was unleavened bread, that you have a whole week there. Remember what unleavened bread was about whenever you was in Egypt and you set free of bondage and you took unleavened bread. And also the Feast of the Tabernacle, to let you understand, know that this world's not your home. It's just a tabernacle. It's just a temporary place that your home is in heaven. Your home is in that supreme land of God. And then you see there was a Passover time. That's whenever Jesus Christ was crucified. That's what caused there was so many people in Jerusalem. That was a demand that all male people come at that time to these three main feast days. Nehemiah had remembered that, what it used to be. When he was a child, thinking about this, how God had blessed that nation so great and built his glory in that nation. And I tell you one thing, God has built his glory in this nation called the United States, because all the world has stood up and looked and so what in the world is the United States got that they don't have? The every other country, they got some of the more country got a whole lot more oil than we have. They got more gold than we have. They got more fertile lands than what we have. They got more of everything than what I have. Well, what makes us great? They got more than everything we ever thought about. A little speck on the globe is all we are. What makes this country great? It's not our gold, it's our God. That's the reason our country is great as it is right now. And I tell you, it's coming a time when it's going to be hurtful, I tell you, because God, it says, listen, if you don't get back, I'm going to have to send a plague. Now, I can remember now, see, because I'm nearly 70 years old. I can't remember 70 years ago, but I remember over 60 years ago. And old Nehemiah looked back as his childhood and saw that great temple. And maybe as he saw that great feast day and saw he was a child and how it should be and how the glory of God filled that place, how the glory of God was upon that nation. No other nation could touch them at one time. They were the greatest nation in the world, the nation of Israel. Well, as a child now, I could see that as I was coming up now for 60-some-odd years that I could remember how that this nation is a great nation. You know, as childhood, as I was coming up into school, whenever the teacher would read us Bible stories, Daniel in the lion den, and Noah, and have a Bible on their desk all the time, and over a little small intercom, when they got enough of money, there was a Bible reading and prayer in our school. And I tell you, that was a great day. The Ten Commandments was on the wall. The teachers prayed. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, and even families, it come time I can remember in this country, I'm carrying you back a little while now, but in families, I can tell you when the fathers was a head of the families and the mother was the heart of the family. I'll tell you what we have today. We have a two-headed monsters in our home today, where the father is no longer the leader of the house. I don't care what you believe. It don't really matter. You don't have to understand what I say, but God said that the man should be the leader, whether you like it, whether I like it, or whether you accept it, whether I accept it. God said it. You take it any way that you want to. The man should be the leader of the home. The man should be the leader of a church. A man should be the leader of a nation. That is God's plan. That is God's way. We have got away from God's way. I can remember when the father was the head of the family. And I tell you what, that's the way it should be today. But you see, men was honored by being in leadership. Not that they was boss, but they was in leadership. And they was looked forward, you know, when they could lead their family. And today, I tell you what, you need to be leading your family. And today, the father should be leading their family to the house of God. It's your responsibility, father. It is not the mother's responsibility to carry the kids to church. It is a father's responsibility. The man is shirking their responsibility. They're backing away from their responsibility, but they cannot change their responsibility. Hear me. It's yours whether you accept it or not. I remember the time whenever Dad was the head of the home. I tell you, we come to a time of going to church, it was no dialogue. I tell you, when it come to time for service, when family and friends and all got around to the table and they eat, listen. This was not a big ordeal it would be today, but the men at first. They will serve first. Well, you big things, you think you're supposed to eat first. It was no reason except to show they was in leadership and they respected the leadership in the home and the family and the family. But not nowadays, buddy. Everybody's pushed away and you let these little ones, they get up there first. Number one, the kids are number one in the home first. That's not God's idea. That's not God's way. God's way is the man's way first, the leadership of the home. Oh, I say, I'm not got the answers to all of it, but I'm going to tell you one thing, God does. And the man was the leadership of the home. And you know what, men, they took this leadership. Oh, I know sometimes they overdone it. Well, what's wrong today? The whole life is circling around a child today. What they want, what they should be doing. And the rest of the family have to take the second seat. God didn't intend it that way. And you tell them you're going to do something. Well, why? Well, why got to do this? I don't want to do that. Why should I do this? Oh, why? Why? You don't tell a child why. I don't care why the psychologists tell you or any other body. But it's the man's responsibility, the father's responsibility, the mother's responsibility to tell a child, you know why you're supposed to do it? I'm the dad, she's the mom, and you're the child. Wasn't that simple? Boy, that's simple to understand, isn't it? I can remember back in those days, and a lot of you, I say of my age and older, I might have asked why one time. I might have asked why two times. But I knew better to ask three times, because I know what that why would turn into. It'd be more than whining. So I thought about that. Then it come time for supper time. And I can remember at supper time, whenever you call the hogs up and fed them, now I'm telling you, a little old country farm right outside the creek, about dusk dark, you wouldn't hear one, but you might hear two or three or four families calling their hogs. And then whenever the animals was fed, it was time for the family to have supper. No telephone, no TV, no DVD, no internet, but you come together as a family as God intended it to be, and all the activities of that day was discussed then at the table. How did your day go? Well, we'd like three more rows of corn. We'd have all the corn hoed. If we could just sucker that out of the backer, we need to pick the peas in the morning. Your family was together because it was supper time. And that great song we sing, come home, because it's supper time. Today, run down to Carter's, get you a pizza, TV dinners, one eating the bedroom, one eating the dining room, other eating on the front porch. That's not a family dinner. That's not a family dinner. And then our government. I remember when it's safe, whenever we was raised in Miami, when I was a little small child, we'd catch a bus and go downtown Miami and see a movie and winter shop, and there was nobody worried about nobody knocking your head. I don't really want to go downtown Patterson, Georgia now at night. What's happened? What's happened? When I was in school, I'd heard about people that's called homosexuals and gays. I didn't know what that was, tell you the truth, very much. And I heard about people, and I never met one. I never heard people say that I'm a homosexual, I'm a gay, I'm a lesbian. I never heard that. That was not in our class, and that was not in our style. That was not in our time. But you'd say today they're proud of it. And they want you to accept it. And the reason they're mad and they stay mad because we do not accept it as a lifestyle, they can't understand. Well, you hate us. No, Christian don't hate anybody or shouldn't hate anybody. You just don't like their lifestyle, but they should not be hated. They should be loved because God loves every one of them. He just don't love their lifestyle. He don't like my lifestyle when I sin either, do you? You think he likes yours? Gays, homosexuality is a sin. In our country, I remember when the flag was honored in our country. The red, white, and blue and what it stands for, it's no longer taught in our school system across our land the value and the honor that we should have for the flag, because this is a country of number one and what it means. A million people has died to make that flag fly free. And you have the freedom this day. That flag. I remember whenever young men would be drafted in or join the military service and be glad to fight and die for their country. I remember whenever many times whenever a young person would have a furlough for 5 days, 10 days, and want to beat it back home and just be with their family for just a few days. But if they didn't have to worry about catching a train or catching a plane or catching anything, all they had to do was get outside there, the place where they was stationed at, stick out their thumb with their uniform on, and buddy, people would go out of their way to carry them home and even give them money on the way. But I tell you what, you better not do it now because somebody will shoot you. Yeah, shoot you. They'll knock you in the head for fighting for our country, for the freedom that we have. I wanted to ask you a question, though. Who is weeping today? Who is weeping today? Who is weeping today? Nehemiah, 70 years Israel been in that place of Babylon. Come time to be returned back home, God put it on his mind. But did you know whenever it started to come back, only a few people left Babylon. Only a few Jews left Babylon to come back to rebuild their wall and their country. Did you know why? Because the Jews had been in Babylon and they had become rich. And they had learned the worldly things, and they wasn't fixing to give up and go back to that religion. They had it made. They was comfortable. And I want to tell you, sitting right here this day, and in the name that names the name of Jesus Christ on this church roll and many other church rolls, there's a many a Christian has made it in the world, and they don't want to turn loose the worldly things to come back and give a name to Jesus Christ. It should be given the name of Jesus Christ to his church. And the glorifying of his church this day. You don't want to give up these worldly things. They did not come back. And there's a many a Christian that's not going to come back today because they're satisfied in these worldly things. And that's one reason our nation and our freedom is being slipped away from us this day. Proverbs 22 and 28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark from which that your fathers have set." I'm going to tell you, the landmarks have been removed in our country. That used to be a vital thing in the farming community, to have a piece of land and know where your landmarks was at. In the nation of Israel, when they moved into that nation of Israel, God says, here's a landmark for each tribe, and here's what you give them, the amount of land, and you put your landmark there. But it was very, very, very wrong if anybody moved his neighbor's landmark. But I tell you, a landmark that God have established in this country that we're living in today, mankind has moved that landmark, what I've been talking about. They moved that landmark from homosexuality. They moved the landmark now for decency. They moved the landmark for morality of this country. They have moved the landmark of greed, and they moved the landmark of money. And I could just keep on going on, but I'm going to mind to start preaching my sermon, though. If we got problems, but if we see these problems through the eyes of God, we can turn these problems into possibilities. There's three things that we need to do. We need to visualize the problem. You know, most people don't realize what's wrong with this country. I don't know and I don't care. That's the reason this so-called president that we have is squatting on the throne of this country. And I won't mention his name from a sacred pulpit. Because this thing has got enough of followers. And they don't know and they don't care, but they want their money. And they don't care if they have to get it from you or wherever they get it from. Give it to me. And he keeps lying to the public and lying and lying and lying. I wish they'd quit saying this, that, and other and just say, "You're a liar. You're just a plain old liar. You've told American people lies and you are a liar." Well, that's exactly what he is. He's lied to the American people. Only thing he didn't lie about was change. You see, as I said, they've been carried away in Daniel's day. And the city is torn down, the temple. The people were sick in poverty. The United States, I'm going to tell you what, you can listen to me or you don't have to listen to me, but I'm going to tell you what, we are in danger. I am grieved for the United States. And I do believe that the United States has a general trend towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And the wrath of God is coming if we do not repent as an individual and also as a nation. It's getting time to vote, and I tell you, you better vote these liberal people out of office. What are we going to vote for? We got two men running for president. One of them believes in homosexuality. This same one that believes in homosexuality also believes in abortion. The other do not believe in homosexuality, and they do not believe in abortion. It don't matter what else they believe and do. That's enough to elect them or get them out of office. Don't you ever let me hear someone say, well, they all bad up there. I tell you, they all blabber. There's some difference right here on these two things, I'm telling you. And you Christians that vote, I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to stand before God for who you vote for. And there's no reason why any Christian of this church could vote out of ignorance, because you know who's for you and who's against you. You know what they stand for. There's no Sunday school kids up there. I'm telling you that right now. They some, I tell you, is far, far from God and the things of God. Listen, sometimes we may have to lose some things in this country before we appreciate them. And we may have to lose our freedom, and even freedom of speech, as they want to get on this man from Chick-fil-A. He has a right to say anything he wants to. It's coming a time when you won't have the right from a pulpit. If it keeps going, you will not have the right from a pulpit to say anything against a homosexual. It's already a law in Canada. It's a hate crime to say anything against a homosexual. It's coming to this country if we don't repent and get back to God. You don't miss it till the well goes dry. Well, let me tell you, when I was coming along, we pumped water, and sometimes the well would go dry, and sometimes you'd have to haul water, and you just don't know how much water every one of us used until you had to haul it, and you had to pump it with a pump. And I tell you, you don't know how much freedom you got until you lose it. You don't know how much freedom you got until you lose it. And we may have to lose something before we regain it. The United States is in danger. Just a few of those Jews come back with Nehemiah. He was a cupbearer. I'll tell you what, he had it made. He was a cupbearer in the king's palace. But you see, he looked and he saw Jerusalem. And he saw the condition of Jerusalem. And the first thing of my sermon, the need to visualize. For all these years now, Nehemiah did not visualize the problem of his country. And there have been for weeks and months and years, this country have not visualized the problem that we're in. And don't listen to any of these people up there in Washington. You need to listen to what God says. I don't care if they're a Democrat or Republican. And a Christian shouldn't be a Democrat, and a Christian shouldn't be the Republican. A Christian ought to be a Christian and vote for what's right according to God. Preacher, don't tell me who to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you who God says you ought to vote for. You pick it out yourself. You pick it out yourself. But we ought to be listening to God, and we need to visualize. Nehemiah visualized it in his heart now. You know what it does? And I'll tell you, if you visualize, if you understand, are you concerned about the country and your family and your loved ones and your friends and your grandkids? If you visualize this, you can't help but weep this morning. Because it's not going to be 10 years down the road, or 50 years, or 100 years down the road. It's coming. It's right on the verge right now. It's right now on the verge. God says, wake up. He says, you know what? I wept and I fasted and I prayed. Because of the walls were symbol of protection and separation and the glory of God and the salvation around that little town called Jerusalem. Oh, Nehemiah, the gates are burnt with fire. He says there's danger in the streets. I'm going to tell you, the streets are filled with weeds and the trash and debris. I'm going to tell you, we are discouraged. The United States, we need to visualize today. The walls are torn down. You know what the biggest wall is torn down today? The walls of sin. What's wrong? Sin, that's what's wrong. The greatest problem is we can't call sin any longer. That's one of the biggest problems we have in this country. You can't call sin, sin. Alcoholics, they have a drug problem. Homosexuality is all that lifestyle. You can't call sin, sin no longer. You can't tell a homosexual, buddy, you are a sinner in the face of God. Go, you know why? That gets you in trouble. We can't call sin, sin today. That's the greatest problem we have. We forgot about God. You see, we have forgot about God, and our morals have collapsed. The crime rate is up. We're living in the bloodiest time of the history of this country we ever lived. Look what just happened out in Colorado. And I tell you, it happened way across just as easy as it could in Colorado. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with this man. I tell you what's wrong with him. His heart's bad. You say, well, it's crazy in the head. Yeah, but it starts from the heart. You're not going to change people. Gun laws will not change people. You can't change crime until you change the hearts of people that's doing the crime. And if you don't get back to the Word of God, what's going to happen in our country? I tell you, the harvest is ripe in our country. And I'm going to tell you, this great country that I love so dear, I'm going to tell you what, is going to fall like a ripe piece of fruit. You ever saw a ripe peach get over-ripened and fall to the ground? When it does, it just splatters. Our country is fixing to splatter because it is ripe for judgment. And then what's happened to other countries, they have forgot about God. They kicked God out of their country, and we're doing that in our country. And just as soon as you kick God out, no mention of God in our country, the next thing is mankind. Mankind. Well, it don't matter about children. Abortion, they're just a blob. And then these old-timers like me, give them that shot because they're not worth a knee transplant or some other thing they need. Just give them that shot. Buddy, whenever we kick God out and God don't mean nothing and we come from evolution, mankind won't mean anything either. Murdering in our streets. The problem is also with our finance. These are the reasons in our country going down, our finances. Our government is broke. Companies across this nation is going bankrupt, going out of business. Business is down. Families losing their homes and their jobs. Whenever I come out of high school about 50 years ago, I got a job at the railroad. Junior, Jimmy, and the rest of us, we got a job at the railroad. I worked for the railroad for over 40 years. Didn't have to worry about it. The railroad was there. Nowadays, if anybody works 10 years in a company, that's about the longest they work because something, either the company has moved, downsized, or something else. It's always moving. You don't work longer than about 10 years on a job or for a company because they're down closing, they're leaving. Nehemiah says, we need to learn a lesson to visualize. The problem of family is broke down. The walls, traditional family, same-sex marriage, as our president says, is perfectly all right. That's been the biggest thing to tear down a family in this country than anything else has ever done is same-sex marriage. And it will not stop. Problem of our national breakdown. This nation is a collision with the wrath of God already. The Roman Empire, most nations don't live about 200 years. Most nations throughout all the history of humankind, about 200 years, they set up a nation. Read in your Bible, all the great nations of the Bible, about 200 years, the Romans, the fall of the Roman Empire. You ever read the reasons of the fall of the Roman Empire? It looks like we read in a newspaper of the day. If you read about this, the fall of Roman, it says one thing, the fall of the Roman Empire, a rapid increase of divorce and decline of the family and no marriage and just shaking up. That was one of the declines of the Roman Empire. The second thing was higher and higher taxes and more spending money by our liberal government. The next thing was a crazy for pleasure and sports. You think we're there today? You let some sport come on Sunday or Wednesday night and you will see where we at. You will see where we at. You will see who people teach their kids what's more important in this country, sports or pleasure. And then if someone has to leave, they always they go somewhere for pleasure. It's on Sunday. We'll go on Sunday. We'll come back on Sunday when they can leave on Monday and come back on whatever. Crazy for pleasure and sports. And then we find out the Roman Empire, they built the gigantic military forces like we have in the United Country this day, but they overlooked the real problem was on the inside. And then they had a decay of their religion. I'm going to tell you, there's a decay this day in real worship and real religion this day. This day, where is everybody that names the name of Jesus Christ? Is coming. The problem of education. The colleges in this country teach our children that they need to be wide-minded. And you need to learn tolerance. The Bible says narrow is the road. And if we keep on being tolerant, keep improving on that, before long you will evaporate. And that's what's happening today. It will evaporate your morals. It will underline your foundation of the Word of God. If you keep being tolerant with these things, it's called teachers and colleges today, and not all of them. I'm just speaking about the liberals. Education, pray, the Bible, Ten Commandments, God, that's all out. That's all out now. Evolution's in, homosexuality's in, murder's in, abortion's in. School's fixing to start in our county. I feel sorry for our school teachers here. Thank God for Christian school teachers, amen. Especially for Pierce County, amen. But I feel sorry for our school teachers to tell a child, you must do right. Why? Because they're going to say, well, where did you get that from? And what is right and what is wrong? Where did that come from? You can't say from the Bible. What are you going to tell them what's right and what's wrong and where did it come from if you can't mention God? If you can't mention the Bible? We better get back to His Word of God, because that is what's right and it is what's wrong, is the Word of God. And then, you know, we need to agonize. We need to agonize. Verse 4, he says, you know what I done? When I heard these words, I sat down, I wept, I mourned for certain days, and I fasted, and I prayed before God in heaven. I did. I prayed a contrite prayer. He says, I wept tears of the condition of Jerusalem. I tell you what, we ought to be weeping tears today, a condition of our country. We have forgotten how to blush, how that we need to weep. I'll ask you a question. When's the last time that you wept over a lost soul and had that soul mortgaged to hell? When's the last time you wept for someone that's lost and on the way to hell? Dry-eyed church in a hell-bent world. Prayer of confession. Israel has sinned, and I have sinned. I'm on my second point. The first thing Jeremiah did, he says, I'm praying for this nation. This nation has sinned against God. Would y'all agree with me that? This nation has grossly sinned against God. We have elected leaders in this country, and I'm going to tell you what, liberal leaders, it should not be leaders at all, shouldn't even be running while we sit by and let them get by. Our nation has grossly sinned, but I'll tell you something else. We, the people of God, have sinned also. We, the people of God, have sinned. I guess that's what maybe broke my heart more than anything else. I'll ask myself, what am I doing about it? What am I doing about it? Well, I'll tell you if I get a chance next week or whatever, what God's already put on my heart to do about it, if He'll let me. But I tell you, they ought not be a dry eye tonight. If you this morning, if you Think about your kid, your grandkid, and the way this nation's headed. It'll make everybody want to get right with God. He says, you know, in in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know what we do if my people are called by my name? You say we'll humble ourselves, you know, and return, repent of our ways, get on our face before God. He said, I hear you. I know what you're saying, and I want to bless the nation of the United States. I want to bless this country. I want to raise up bigger than it's ever been before. Do you think God don't want to raise this nation up greater than it's ever been before? Do you believe he wants to give us more blessing than he's ever given us before? And do you believe he wants to give you and your family and this church greater than he's ever? He's waiting to do this. But the conditions have to be met. I'm asking you now with a song of invitation. I don't